And now, a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Dial a dad. We've been doing that. And we'll do it again. Chickpeas. After 8 o'clock this morning.
Chickpeas.
I love chickpeas.
Is this your thing?
Yeah.
It really gets you up and going.
It does. I eat a can a day and I don't care.
And she is barely gassy at all, guys.
No, I'm not, though. That's the thing. Anyway, shush. Dial a dad. We've been doing it all week,
Yeah. Right?
And we were doing it at the start of the week and someone's dad was called Graham.
Beautiful.
And Lingy said, how do we know that's not their partner? Could be their partner. And me and you said, absolutely not.
You are ridiculous.
There are no Grahams under 40 years of age.
There really is not. And so we thought, hey, it's Friday and we want to put people in the draw to go to the footy tonight to see the Cats take on the Lions at the MCG. A couple of tickets in the draw if you would like to get involved on 52232955. Abby is in Grovedale. Morning, Abs.
Good morning, guys. How are we?
Good.
We're good. Do you know a Graham, mate?
I've been thinking about it while on hold.
Okay.
And I've actually known quite a few Grahams, like, in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also been brought up with my mum working in aged care.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think I've ever met a Graham probably under the age of 60. And I'm 26.
Okay.
So even, like, when I was a kid, like, I had a teacher and his first name was Graham. And my mum's work, the maintenance guy was Graham. And then, obviously, heaps of residents. Like, I work in aged care at the moment and I think I've got, like, 3 Grahams in my facility. So
right.
It's common, but definitely not under, you know, 50, I'd say. You guys are being generous with 40, to be honest.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Okay, good.
Just, yeah, a little bit of feedback there too, a little drive-by.
No.
It's
saying
rain
being nice.
And grey.
Where?
Hallelujah.
Look, the thing is, if you want to call up and say, I agree, there is no Graham under 40, we'll take that too.
Absolutely.
We're very excited about these tickets. Let's go to Kate from Inverlee. Kate, do you know any Grahams under 40?
No, none under 40.
Yep.
No. We grew up with a neighbour named Graham. Graham Smith, his name was. So he was my parents' age.
Yep.
Probably about 65, 70 now, I'd say, but yeah. He was wild, like had wild curly hair.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't know at the time, but I now know he smoked marijuana. So I always thought he was a bit, I always thought he was a bit funny, but I now know why.
Quite the pothead.
Yeah, he was a pothead. He was, yeah. But I just thought he was a bit funny. I thought he was a bit weird, but that was why, yeah.
Yes. That sticks with the name Graham too, I'd suggest.
Well, my uncle Graham, I have suspicions about as well.
Really?
Yeah, about his history. And he also, my whole childhood, had the most amazing mullet. So,
made the most amazing cookies.
Yeah.
Sorry, continue.
52232955, do you know Graham? How old are they?
So we've got Susan from Ocean Grove. Susan, are there any Grahams that you know under 40?
Oh, not under 40, but I know one in his 40s. Does that count?
Yeah, well, we're getting closer.
We're getting closer, yes.
How old?
Yeah, my brother, he's 45.
45. Now, tell me this. Yeah. Is Graham a family name?
It is. Yeah, it was my dad's name as well.
Okay. Mm. Is Graham a stoner? Because that seems to be the other thing that we're getting.
No, definite no to that one.
Okay.
But then my name's Susan, so I don't know any Susans, I think, in that category as well. I feel like there's no Susans under about 75 as well. So our parents like the older name.
Do you know, we just had that conversation off air
we
as
did,
well?
We're like,
we've got to ask Susan as well. Is she under 40?
Yeah, I'm 43. So.
Good
bless,
on you, mate.
All right. Sounds like a fun family.
What a good vintage, 1982.
I like that, yeah.
I think, just quick theory, before we get to news, because we're over time already, but do you think that there's no Grahams born. Maybe Grahams appear and they're already over 40.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
No, I do think
never,
that.
Never once
it
was
sounds
a baby
like you've been hanging out with a Graham.
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
I want to bring something to the table and it's got to do with Jimmy James, your wonderful fiance. Beautiful man. I don't get to spend enough time with him.
I know, you should.
And when we do hang out, we always have a lovely time.
Yeah.
Because he's a beautiful guy.
He is. He's lovely.
I feel you may have hung him out to dry.
Many times.
Yeah, true. May have.
I know.
Silly thing to say.
I know.
I feel you hung him out to dry. And is he listening right now, do you know?
Possibly.
G'day, mate.
He might be taking Mombi for his little stroll.
This is, I just want, if he's listening right now, Jimmy, if you're listening right now, this is, I'm bringing this to the table because you deserve better. And I, not just not better than
in general.
Loggy. No.
No, he does.
No,
he does.
I'm hard. You are hard. But you're also beautiful in many ways.
Yeah.
It's all good. All good people. But I just want him to know that this is coming from a place of my concern for his welfare and also, you know, like looking out for your brother.
Yeah.
So when we went to Blackman's a couple of weeks ago, we were there for the Point Break Invitational.
Yes.
You and I have hung out socially twice in the last, like, 2 months or month, and that's the most.
And you've remembered them. That's good.
Well, most of it. Anyway, you and Jimmy arrived.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were milling about. It was a beer festival, so, you know, you're chatting.
It was such a good setup, too.
So, yeah, I know. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Good on
you, Blackman. But we were all sort of chatting, you're milling around, you're sort of talking to lots of different people, and then you sort of make your way back and, you know, the crowds change. And so I caught up with Jimmy at multiple different times across the day. And one thing persistently stuck out to me about those interactions with Jimmy.
Yeah.
And I feel like they would have stuck out to you as well in the lead up to you guys arriving. And yet you didn't say anything to him.
What?
And you didn't... Actually, I'm assuming you didn't say anything to him.
What?
So, and this plays particularly into my sort of the things that, you know, not irk me, but, you know, it's not an OCD thing, but it's certainly like a thing that I sort of.
Yeah.
So he had one eyebrow hair that was like, doing, like. And I was looking at him, making eye contact, talking to him, not hearing what he was saying because I'm thinking about the eyebrow hair that's hanging over his eye thinking, surely you can see that, Jimmy. Surely as you're looking through your eyes at my face.
Yeah, and they're beautiful eyes, aren't they?
Stunning. Get lost in them.
Stunning eyes.
But I just kept coming back to this one big grey eyebrow hair that was like boing all the way down. Might as well have been touching his nose.
Do you think about my eyebrow hairs?
No, you don't have. This was like, this was egregious. And I feel like it's not my place. You're his fiance and you let him get out of the house and get there with that eyebrow hair. Now I know he's a hairy man. I know that sort of he's got the rug on the back and the front.
Yeah.
And I assume everywhere else also, but I've not had the privilege. So I know that the hair is wild, but I feel like you let him sort of freewheel.
Okay, well, look, I feel like I would, as a partner, if I saw something, I would say, you know, oh, hey, let me fix that for you.
There was no way you couldn't see that.
The only thing is, I remember when we were first going out, and I reckon we had only been going out maybe for 2 months or so, and I picked him up from the cricket.
Mm.
And dropped him off at his car, and he was looking at me, and I'm like, "Well, what are you looking at? You know, you can just tell someone's looking at your face, but they're looking at something on your face.
On your face,
And he's like, "Oh, you've just got like a bit of a hair, like in the middle of your eyebrows there." And I went, "Right." And I remember dropping him off and being like, "You know what?
It's not going to work out.
I don't think it's going to work out." I was pissed.
Yeah,
I was pissed off.
Yeah,
and I went to the supermarket and I got some. Tongs, what are they called? Tweezers, yeah.
Don't get tongs. You've got big hairs, but big follicles, but I don't know about some salad tongs.
And he was like, "Oh, where did you go?" And I'm like, "Well, I went to get tweezers because of the hair that you notice on my face."
Okay, so it was something you've held on to for like 6 years.
Yeah, and it's still, now you've brought it up, I'm going to go home and yell at him about it again. Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
It's Loggy's time to analyse crime in Loggy's Crime Club.
It's a bit of a weird one because I watch crime docos, listen to crime podcasts and things like that, and then I review them on the show. But it's like true crime's a bit of a weird topic too because it's so massive, but it's also the people behind it, you know.
You don't want to glorify it.
Exactly. So it's really hard. But anyway, there is this new Netflix doco at the moment, and I'm telling you this. There will be no spoilers on this end, Okay, it's called Unknown Number, The High School Catfish. Here is a little bit of the trailer.
A high school girl in Michigan was cyberbullied for more than a year.
And who turned out to be the suspect shocked everyone.
It was so bad to the point where I didn't want to even go to school anymore.
It was relentless. I mean, 1 a.m, 3 a.m.
I would question how I thought about myself.
There's some sick messages.
They were enough to make a 53-year-old man blush.
It's crazy how having a phone can become the worst thing that happened to me.
I read about this week.
Okay.
Saw that it was a doco on Netflix and thought to myself, God, I hope Loggy watches that and tells me about it.
I was like,
I'm never going to watch it, but okay. I hope Loggy tells me about it.
Well, I saw an article on it and it spoiled it for me.
Ah.
So I was so peed off. And this is what I hate about big docos because, you know, they're pumping them through on all the different platforms and everything because true crime sells, right?
Yeah.
And I saw the conclusion of this prior to watching it.
Yeah.
And that's what really peed me off because I didn't get the full experience, but I did watch it yesterday. So this documentary is a deep dive into this real life cyberbullying case that happened back in 2020 with some teenagers from Michigan, right? They're in a very small town. They all go to school and they were being, you know, hounded with these messages that were absolutely terrible. And then it goes through the police, what they did and what they didn't do.
Yeah.
And the family members. So in this documentary, you are getting interviews from the kids,
yep,
like the teenagers. Mm-hmm. You're getting interviews from their parents and the people associated with the school, police members and everything. So it is a good doco in the sense that you get the story from their own mouths.
Yeah, okay.
But I just feel like it's one of these ones where people have started talking about it and publishing it online and they're giving away what it is, and that really pees me off.
The thing is the reason I guess it's worth watching is because there is a certain element to it, and I know because I've read as well, right?
So there's
one element to it that is just wild, right? That makes it worth making a doco about this particular story.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to talk about it without revealing what that wild thing is and getting people to watch it.
I know, but you kind of, that's like every documentary, right? If you've got, anyway, so that's what annoys me about this. So if you have watched it, I would suggest that you don't tell other people, be cool.
Yeah.
But it is only a documentary that is in one part. It's an hour and 34 minutes, easily bingeable. It's on Netflix. Mm. I'm going to give it a rating. Oh, God. Like,
take the spoiler alert gear out of it. Just
okay. The conclusion rating is 5 out of 5.
5 out of 5.
Okay, so you know what happens in the end. Mm. It was an easy watch. I give everything a 4. So I just feel like I'm not great with ratings.
No.
Look, it was an easy watch. Let's go 3.75.
Terrible for your job too to not be great with ratings.
I know.
You're in the wrong industry.
I am so. But hey, hello. We've been saying that the whole time. Yeah. I would say it's easy. It's good for a binge on a weekend if you want to watch it. And also just acknowledging like how phones can really impact our life as well. So yeah.
What's it called again?
It's called Unknown Number, The High School Catfish.
It's Loggy's time to analyse crime in Loggy's Crime Club.
Woo! The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
It's Women's Health Week. We've been touching on a whole heap of different topics across the week, from menopause to pelvic gear.
Yes.
And this is
to pelvic gear, but also
more pelvic gear.
It is. It's focusing on the pelvic a lot of the time for women's health issues, you know. I mean, that's where it gets ignored.
Mm.
And so we want to zoom in on the pelvic area right now because we want to chat about fertility and natural ways you can enhance your fertility. And fertility is such a intense journey for a lot of women, very private also for a lot of women. So we are going to Natural Fertility Clinic right here in Geelong with Jaya Ferreira, who is joining us. Good morning, Jaya.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Jaya, it's lovely to have you on the show. Perfect week to talk about fertility. For people who haven't been on the journey, it's quite the road, isn't it, for both members of a couple to navigate, but obviously particularly for the women.
Yeah, it's massive. And I think people don't realise that it's not just a physical journey. It starts infiltrating every area of your life. And it's emotional and it affects your work. So it's really massive and we're not talking about it enough. So I think a lot of people don't really realise how hard it is.
It's part of the process, Jared, and completely, I'm coming from a place of just learning and completely naive in this whole thing, but how much of it, the approach is that holistic approach? You're talking about the psychological side of it, but also just the all-round health and bringing that all together to hopefully end up with a great outcome.
Yeah, it's really important. So I think the number one thing that people think about when they do IVF is which clinic they're going to go with and what doctor they're going to see. But I don't think that's the most important phase. I actually think it's understanding your health and what your options are that the power really lies in. So really the magic of IVF sits in the lab, and that's where they're, you know, putting the eggs and the sperm together and creating miracles. But they can only work with what they've got. So the quality that they get is what they're working with. So we have this really big window of opportunity in that preconception phase, and I'm talking that 3 to 6 months before you even consider doing IVF, to really work on your health and look at it from a completely holistic perspective of how you're eating, how you're sleeping, how you're moving, what tests are we looking at, what supplements are you taking. And it's in that phase that I think makes the biggest difference in terms of how many eggs are collected, how they're fertilizing, and then ultimately how many cycles they end up doing.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think as well, oh, okay, I'll freeze my eggs when I'm in my 20s if I can, and then I'll see what happens, and then maybe in my 40s, if I get 5 embryos, that means I've got 5 babies. But people don't understand that the thawing process might not work, or your body can change, you might not be able to hold a baby anymore. Is that one of the biggest misconceptions about IVF, that it works every time?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, and that we're going to walk away with a baby the first time. And this is the thing where we're often told that freezing your eggs is a really good insurance policy for your future. But the reality is that a lot of women who are going in and freezing their eggs, they're not doing that preconception phase, and they're often really stressed, or they're drinking a lot, or, you know, they're not in a phase of their life where they're really slowing down. So I've worked with lots of women now on the other side of that who are starting to use those eggs that they're frozen, and they're not lasting, or they're not surviving the thaw, they're not surviving the next phase, which is, you know, pretty heartbreaking.
With that next step, I suppose, post what you're talking about there, when things aren't working, and it's not just you've moved beyond that thought, oh, hey, and this is just supposed to, you know, I froze my eggs, it's supposed to be fine. What do you offer? How hard is it? I could only imagine just the anguish that must come with it of it's not quite working like I thought it was going to work. What do we do?
Yeah, so I think it's then when people start looking at the different options of going, okay, so I've gone down the mainstream route and it's not working for me. So the next option is I start looking at alternative methods, which a lot of what I do is acupuncture, but a lot of it is also functional testing. So looking at a lot more blood tests, looking not just in your reference range, but in your optimal range. So I'm looking at those other 1% of what else is going in your health that could be having an influence here. And a lot of it comes down to the fact that we're not talking about male fertility a lot. We're not talking about people's stress. We're also not talking about their diet and things at a level that it's really going to make a difference as we get older in IVF. So as we get older, our eggs have to work a lot harder, and we need to do a lot more to get those results.
Jaya, when you do say, you know, diet and stress and that kind of thing, like stress is a pretty obvious one, and there are things we can do to mitigate that. But is there anything sort of diet-wise, any like real wonder foods that people, you know, do we need more ginseng? You know,
ginseng. Well, not to get on this bandwagon, but we need more protein for starters.
Okay.
And I feel like most of the women I see are actually under-eating.
Ah, okay.
So they're not having enough calories. So, you know, for women who are trying to conceive, I'm not a big fan of intermittent fasting. I'm not a big fan of the carnivore diet. So it's really about coming back into that balance. When they're not eating enough calories, the body just interprets that as another stress.
Yeah.
Not great for your eggs. Not great for falling pregnant. Not great for your body going, hey, I feel really safe. Now is a great time to get pregnant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Natural Fertility Geelong, obviously here in town, you've created a space for women, but can couples come in, like, you know, any sort of couples, but also if it is a heterosexual couple, can the men come in with their partners to kind of have a chat with you about the next steps as well?
Absolutely. And I prefer it that way when men come as well, because they are 50% of the equation. And fertility is really a team sport. So men need to be involved a lot more.
Mm. Speaking of which, just before we wrap it up, Jaya Ferreira from Natural Fertility Geelong, technique, does that does that play a factor?
Surprisingly not.
Okay, good to know.
But
yeah.
I don't go into that much detail.
Mate,
well,
it's your interview. You can, yeah. You can go to as much or as little detail as you like. I mean, you see...
quantity as well? Like, well, is it quality or quantity? Like,
well, probably both.
Okay, all right.
Cool. That tells me everything this, we need to know.
Quality, I would say.
Quality.
Okay, well, that is ambiguous too. Ambiguous enough to not get us in trouble.
That's right. Eye contact, very important. Look...
Maybe not, Tom.
You do some. Well, I don't know, Jay. It was far too vague. I could not give you the answer. Jaya Ferreira, thank you so much for, hey, the beautiful work that you do helping couples, get pregnant and move into that phase of their lives. I know it's quite the roller coaster, and I imagine you go on that journey with a lot of your clients. Natural Fertility Geelong is where you work and where you do help those couples. And thanks for having a chat to us for Women's Health Week.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime? And listen on air at KROQ 955 weekday mornings from 6.